Amen. I could spend many more minutes just repeating those beautiful words. It is my pleasure to be with you guys today. It is always a tremendous highlight of my week when we get the privilege to gather together as the body of Christ for the purpose of worship to our one true King. What a pleasure that is. Today we're continuing walking through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. If you have a Bible, I invite you to open there. There are some Bibles on the chairs. If you're using one of those, it's on page 552 to get there a little quicker. If you're new with us, or if you're watching online or tuning in later for the first time, what we do as a church, a phrase that we use a lot, it's one of our core values as the church, is that we center on the Bible. When I stand before you today, my hope and prayer is that you hear God's words from His written scripture, the Bible, not a spin that I have put on that. And the way that we normally do that is walking through books of the Bible or walking through extended portions of scripture over an extended amount of time. And so for the last couple months, we've been walking through what's called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, this longest portion of teaching that we have recorded in the Bible of Jesus. And so today, as we pick up, we're in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Let's read that together. It says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." This teaching of Jesus here is so powerful. And this truth that we get to, that last line, "You cannot serve both God and money." And I bet, if I had to guess, that most all of us have experienced that tension of living life in a way that we are essentially serving money. And it's a fine line at times, right? Because we know that money is not bad. We know that money is necessary to live, right? But what Jesus is getting at here is a matter of the heart. And today I want us to see that. We're going to see a few things. We're going to see how God has created us with a desire for something more, with a longing, with a desire that needs to be fulfilled. We're going to see how our heart is an indicator of that, of the treasure that we seek has a tremendous impact on us, and of how we can serve God and use money, not the other way. And so today, let's look at that first part. It is this, that we were created with a desire for something more. We see this from verses 19 and 20, where it's talking about, don't store up for yourselves treasures that will rust away, that the moths will destroy, these earthly treasures. And we understand from this that there is this desire for treasure, this desire for more. And what Jesus is getting at here is there are temporal things that will not last that we can put our treasure in, or there are eternal things. If Ellie, my daughter right there, if I handed her a $100 bill, she's going to be quite happy. If your employer hands you a $100 bill in place of your paycheck, you're not going to have the same happiness and reaction, right? Because you need more, right? As a child, what seems like the most money on earth, it seems like the greatest gift ever, we know as adults, doesn't go very far. We need more. There's this longing for more. And the more life we live, we realize that the more we attain, it doesn't fulfill that desire. We think it will. We think the next promotion or the bigger house or the newer car or fill in the blanks will provide some new fulfillment. But then we still find the same emptiness. We still find the same longing for more. And as I said a moment ago, do not misunderstand the message here today. Jesus' message here is not own nothing or it's a sin to have more. His message is on the heart. His message is on what we pursue, what we treasure. And that's an indicator. We'll talk about it more in a moment, but to understand how we can use money, but to only treasure the things of God. And yes, we should work hard. Yes, we should strive to support our family. Yes, there are many ways that can be done. And some of us will have less than others. Some of us will have more. And we can all, even in that, be biblically following Jesus. If our heart, if our treasure, if our desires are in Him. And in that, we'll find a fulfillment. We will find a joy that we will never find in those temporary things. And what we find in that is that it's also not just a joy that we experience here on earth, but that the best of it is yet to come. The best of it is eternity in heaven with God, our Creator, it's our Savior. But it's important to understand that. We're created, we have a desire for more. That desire is not going to go away, but it can be fulfilled. We can be satisfied in the Lord Jesus. The second way we're going to see this today is that the treasure we seek holds our heart. I think this is an important one to understand, is that the things we seek, the things we put our attention on, the things we fall asleep worrying about, hold our heart. In verses 21 through 23 here, it talks about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Whatever your emotions, whatever every part of you is wrapped up in, controls your heart. And if that's going well, you're up here. If that's not going well, there's no hope, right? But in the gospel, the story that we were dead in our sins, we read about this in our catechism question, that we are dead in our sins with no way to bring ourselves back into relationship with God. But by the grace of God, that Jesus, who was eternally God, the member of the Trinity, the three-person God, that He came and took on flesh to live as a man without sin, so He could die a sinner's death on a criminal's cross, not because of anything He did, but so that we could have our sins forgiven, so that we could have new life in Christ Jesus. And when we understand that, we can experience, we can receive that free gift and this joy that cannot be taken away if our circumstances are rough. And we know from the story that we find all throughout the Bible, the rough circumstances will come. Hardships will come. And with Jesus, our joy can remain steadfast because His love is steadfast. His love is faithful and unchanging. Treasure Jesus. He is enough. It also says here that the eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is an indicator of what's in the body. If you drive a car, occasionally you're bound to experience this little light coming on, this little check engine light. And some of us are more like studious of taking care of that than others. You know, some people are like, oh, it's just decoration on the dashboard, right? Little orange light. Some people immediately like freak out and are immediately like rushing to get that checked and assume that the whole car is about to explode, you know? And some of us are maybe in the middle there. And when that light comes on, it's an indicator that something is malfunctioning in a car, right? It might be something major, it might be a huge, huge thing, or it might be something very minor, right? Oftentimes now, those, even if the gas cap's not on right or something, it could be any number of things. But as Jesus teaches here, it's like our eyes, in a way, function similarly. They indicate the condition of the heart. We see this all the time, that our desires can very easily become fixated on the thing we want. That's where our eyes are directed. That's what our gaze is on, is what we want, right? In the classic Christmas movie, Christmas Story, we have Ralphie. And you know his desire, it's for an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. He's fixated on it, right? The whole movie, until he shoots his eye out, you know? But we do the same thing as adults. It just looks a little different. We fixate on the bigger things of life, the bigger house, the newer car, the higher paying job, and so on and so on, or this to happen in our family, or those types of things we can fixate on. Our eyes can be just so drawn and stuck on that, right? And it's a condition of our heart. Our eyes are showing where our heart is and what our treasure is. A author named D.A. Carson, he said, the most cherished treasure subtly but infallibly controls the whole person's direction and values. Whatever our most cherished treasure is, in a subtle way, but without a doubt, controls everything about us. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The one true gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything. It changes everything. Our direction, our gaze is now fixed on Jesus. It gives us the ability to endure life here on earth with a hope, with a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says, we've been born again to a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. Not a wishful desire, but a living hope. Transcendent hope that based on that reality of the gospel, that we have been brought from death to life, that Jesus has transformed us. As Christians, we live our lives with a desire to cherish Jesus, to find our satisfaction in Him. Here's a question for you to think on about this. If you lose all earthly possessions tomorrow, but you still have Jesus, is that enough? It's not a question of will it be easy. It's not a question of will it be comfortable. But is it enough? We understand that with Jesus, we have everything we need. And the way that we can understand that this is more than just words, this is more than just saying, okay, we're supposed to believe this, is why it's so important to read the Bible. As we're reading the Bible and we're reading the words of Jesus, who endures great suffering. And then we read the words of these apostles, these men who are sharing in the gospel of Jesus and who are writing these letters that we have in the New Testament. And we see the story that one after another, they're facing great hardship. They're facing arrest. They're facing persecution. And almost all of them are being executed or martyred because of this gospel they are sharing. But none of them stop. And that's because Jesus is enough for them. And when we have that treasure, when Jesus is our everything, when Jesus is our treasure, then our perspective is so beautiful. Our ability to see and to we still grieve, we still mourn, but we do it with hope. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, we grieve as those who have hope. And that's different. The hard things happen differently with hope. So that question, I'll state it again. If you lose all things of this world tomorrow, but you still have Jesus, is that enough? And if the answer for you is no, in the honesty of your heart, I appreciate that honesty. If that answer is no, I don't think it is, then I invite you to receive the free gift of his salvation, which will make him enough. The third thing we see here from verse 24 is that we serve what we treasure. We serve what we treasure. It says no one can serve two masters. And then it says he will either hate the one, love the other. He will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Money is a poor, poor master. It will always let us down. It will never be enough. As I was reading some things this week, I came across this study that was done about 10 years ago. And this study looked at something unique. It looked and discovered that, it looked at these wealthy neighborhoods and found that in these wealthy areas, the suicide rate among those who lived in a wealthy area but earned less than those in the community at large, that the suicide rate there was significantly higher. Of being surrounded by those who had more. And so being almost a slave to this desire that I've got to be more. I see what's around me and I need that. And seeing that correlation, and that stood out so much to me of seeing that it wasn't about how much money they had. It's not even that they had little, but it's that they had less. And that was spurring these disastrous consequences because they were being mastered by money. Living with money and the desire for more possessions as your master is disastrous. If those things are owning you, if those things, because then they are guiding you, they are shaping every decision, they are influencing everything that you do. And suicide is a drastic means that could end in, but there's also many other things like our lives just coming to ruin in a number of ways. It might be losing your family. It might be living with just no satisfaction and no joy in any of this. And the greatest of all consequences is that it might mean eternity spent separated from God in hell because you did not come to know Jesus as Lord and treasure, as the Savior of your life. One of the greatest blessings of a life lived with Jesus is the ability to be satisfied in Jesus. to make him our master. And he is a good father. God is. He is a good savior. A song we sing often is that he's a good and gracious king. But trying to serve money will lead to ruin. And understanding this, even if you're serving God and making him your treasure, that there will most likely, almost definitely be times in your life where the money is a stress point still, right? Where what is coming in is not meeting the need. And that can cause friction, right? That can cause tension and a desire of knowing, hey, these needs need to be met. I'm not mastered by money, but I'm a little worried right here, right? Like, this isn't working at the moment. And because the Bible is so powerful, actually the very next passage where we will be next week speaks about just that. And speaks about how God will provide. But even in those things, those moments of stress because of it, of understanding that Jesus is enough, right? That he will work it out. It might be a season that leads to some very rough times financially here on earth, but that Jesus is still enough. He is still our treasure. He will sustain us. He will continue to love us. Nothing about him will change. Nothing about his gospel will change. Serving Jesus is a path that is full of abundant life and the greatest joy imaginable. And if we seek him, we'll find him. Another verse that we'll hit here in a couple weeks in Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. If we seek Jesus as our treasure, he will give us everything. Don't misinterpret that as if we seek Jesus, we will get everything of this earth that we could ever think of. No, we'll get something much better. We'll get eternity. We get life here on earth, lived in relationship with God. We get eternal life spent in heaven with God the Father. What an incredible gift that is. As we finish our time, we're going to sing another song. We'll have a time of prayer. We'll have an opportunity, I'll talk more in a moment, we'll have an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. But in this time, I want us to also think about this fact. If to this point in your life, you've been serving money, not God, you're certainly not alone. And you're probably in the majority. And maybe you've even experienced this great pain of losing everything. Well, I want you to know clearly that Jesus' gift of salvation is a free gift, and that it through his gift, he's offering the forgiveness of our sins. He's offering a new life to bring us from death and slavery to sin to freedom in Christ. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's available to you if you have not received that. And if that is you, that is your next step in following Jesus, is to realize your need for him as Savior and to call on him. And we are always, always available to talk with you more, to pray alongside you, to talk about what that means in your life. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what a tremendous thing that is. But you also still have this tension of living in a sinful, broken world, and of reminding yourself daily, of making Jesus your treasure daily, of pursuing and seeking the things of God, not the things of the world, as your master. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, as we just said, I also invite you after our pray to take the juice and the bread of the Lord's Supper, representing Christ's sacrifice, his body that was broken and his blood that was shed on the cross. Let me read from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Our salvation is secured in the Lord. These elements do not have any supernatural power. They are not cleansing our sins, but they are an act of worship and remembrance of what has already been done. Let's pray together and respond as the Lord leads. Lord Jesus, you are good and you are so gracious to us. Lord, we deserve nothing. But Lord, you have given us everything. I pray that for any of us, whether sitting in this room or hearing this at a later time, Lord, that for any of us who do not know your saving grace, do not know the gift of your salvation, Lord, I pray that you, by your Spirit, will show them their need for a Savior. Lord, that you will draw them and that they will put trust in you as their one and only Lord and Savior. Lord, save them. Lord, for those of us who know you as Lord, Lord, my prayer is simple. May you be our treasure. May you be what we seek. May our hearts be captivated by you today. Lord, as we take the juice and the bread, Lord, we're reminded of your sacrifice. Reminded that, Lord Jesus, you lived without sin but died a sinner's death so that our sins could be forgiven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we praise you alone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.